Chapter 21. Owen. I launch an arrow while in the saddle, watching as it takes one of the dark hounds in the flank. We're almost upon them now, our horses galloping straight toward the attacking demons. Reaching back to my quiver, I quickly pull another arrow and loose just as one of the beasts leaps to attack. My shot lands right in its mouth, driving deep into the creature's throat and knocking it back in midair. Seconds later, the battle is joined by the mages. Mage fire flares all around us as they channel source energy, igniting many of the demons in brilliant flashes of light and scorching the ground. Black wings dive with talons extended, screaming as they attempt to rip us from our mounts. I sling my longbow on the horn of my saddle and pull out my hatchet, leaping off the horse and landing lightly on the grassy earth. A darkhound immediately lunges for me, snapping wildly with its jaws. I sidestep to avoid the thing's teeth and strike with my hatchet, gouging it in the back with a spray of dark blood. The attack seems only to anger it, and the monster turns on me with a vengeance, ferociously swiping with its foreclaws. Taking a few steps back, I nearly bump into another darkhound and am forced to dodge to avoid being gored. Hells, I think, dancing away and trying to keep an eye on both creatures at once. That was a close one. The burning husk of a blackwing's corpse comes crashing to the ground nearby, giving me an opportunity to break away from my attackers. However, as soon as I reorient myself, one of the mages comes speeding by on horseback, nearly trampling me and forcing me to dive out of their way. Smoke and blue fire billows all around, and in the chaos of the moment, fear grips my heart. One of the darkhounds jumps over the smoldering blackwing and lands a few paces away from me, its jaws dripping with thick saliva. It spots me and begins creeping to where I lie, a deep growl emanating from its throat. A spear suddenly flies through the air, impaling the demon through the middle and causing it to roar in pain. I jump to my feet and turn just in time to see Yari racing up with Connick and Voss to finish the darkhound off. Yari pulls his spear out as the others stab the thing again and again, brutally ending its life. Grinning, I approach them.
"Ramat,"
I say, using their word for thanks.
"You three came just in time."
They fall into formation around me, spears coated in blood, but their stances firm. When another darkhound comes to attack us, the four of us make short work of it before moving on. Nearby, Zara rears her horse around and flings mage fire at a low-flying blackwing, lighting the demon up like a blue torch and sending it shrieking to the earth. She moves with confidence and practically shimmers with power, wielding her magic with efficiency and skill, better than any of the other mages on the field. When she notices the four of us fighting on the ground, she points and casts some spell, coating our bodies in radiant light. Winking, she races off to aid her colleagues. We continue to clear the fields, slaying every demon we come across. The shields allow us to fight boldly, our attacks sure and intense without fear of being harmed. After that, the fighting is over rather quickly. As the smoke clears and the flames die down, we gather ourselves together to take stock of the situation. No one in our party was killed, thank the light, although several of the horses were maimed, and a few of the mages bear superficial wounds. In all, we were able to eliminate more than a dozen creatures, saving the village from certain destruction.
"That was excellent work," Zara says to the other mages. "I can see why the Circle nominated you to accompany us on this mission. Well done."
Everyone begins dismounting, and several of the mages examine the corpses of the R'hllar. They've probably never seen a demon before, I realize. They aren't warriors. They're scholars and bureaucrats. All things considered, it's a miracle that none of us were killed. People begin making their way toward us from the village, their eyes wide in amazement. They clutch their improvised weapons, farming implements mostly, and regard the surrounding carnage with a mixture of awe and relief.
"Praise the good light above,"
one of the men declares as the group approaches us, his eyes wet with emotion.
"Thank you all for intervening on our behalf. We owe you our lives."
Zara greets the man, her demeanor cool and regal.
"No thanks necessary, good sir," she replies, speaking for all the mages gathering behind her. This seems to annoy Vargas most of all. "We were merely doing the work of the conclave."
The man, a tall, balding fellow in the ceremonial vestments of a priest of the light, takes a knee in front of Zara, prompting the handful of farmers behind him to do the same.
"If there's anything we can do to repay the favor, dear Magus, please say so. We are honored to serve you."
Zara glances over her shoulder at me and raises a questioning eyebrow. I shrug.
The day grows late, priest, she replies after a moment, turning back to him. We are weary from fighting and could use a place to stay for the night. His face immediately brightens and he rises to his feet.
Yes, of course. We'll provide you with lodging and plenty of food. It's the least we can do for the great service you've done for us.
The other farmers nod eagerly as he speaks. They probably want added protection in case more demons come in the night.
Excellent, Zara responds with a gracious smile. That will do nicely. My thanks, priest.
The man turns to his people and begins issuing directions, sending them back to the village. Then, when he's done, he faces us, grinning broadly.
Welcome to Elder Hollow, my esteemed friends. Please, follow me into our village. Our homes and our hearths are yours. Many fled when the Ark was destroyed, the priest explains, leading us through the simple dirt roads of Elder Hollow. The rest stayed behind to look after their farms, unwilling to leave their families' lands behind.
The priest, named Dane, speaks with an air of sadness as he walks through the village. His eyes linger fondly over the thatch-roofed buildings and the farmhouses, his arms crossed within his voluminous sleeves. Around us, townsfolk whisper among themselves, their expressions drawn and fearful. They narrowly avoided death. Next time, will they be so lucky?
Elder Hollow seems like a lovely town, Zara says, smiling at a gaggle of children. We're grateful you've agreed to take us in.
It's our pleasure, Dane replies. You saved our lives. There's plenty of room at the inn and more than enough food to go around.
He tells us the village's history, how it was founded by his grandfather 2 generations ago. He talks about the people living here, how they've fostered a community of peace and prosperity. Eventually, he leads us to a large 2-storied building, whitewashed with a stable and a small garden planted on the side. A sign near the door reads, Elder Hollow Inn.
I'll introduce you to Ven and his wife Peony,
the priest says, leading us inside.
Then we'll get you settled in your rooms.
The innkeeper is a stout man with a short red beard. His wife is equally plump, with a warm smile and honey-colored hair. She reminds me of Mrs. Ellis from Forest Hill. They greet us warmly, delighted to finally have visitors at their inn. When Dane tells them how we saved their village, they shake our hands and promise us a meal worthy of a king. They show us to our rooms, and before long we are stepping back outside to retrieve our packs from the horses.
So, Zara asks, looking over at Dane, does this mean that you're the mayor?
The priest lets out a small chuckle.
You might call it that, though I prefer to think of myself as a shepherd looking after my flock.
I see, Zara replies, nodding respectfully. Well, at any rate, we're grateful for your help. And if there's anything else we can do to aid your people...
Your presence is enough, Dane responds. You've already done so much. Please, just rest from your travels and enjoy our hospitality. We rarely get the opportunity to entertain guests, let alone mages from the Conclave, so it's our treat to have you here.
We thank him one last time before he departs. When he's gone, I turn to regard Zara. It's a nice place, I remark, glancing around. It reminds me of home. I grew up in a village like this, just outside of Edenshire. She meets my gaze.
Do you miss it?
Sometimes, I reply. But there are some bad memories there. My mother and all... My voice trails off and I clear my throat. Anyway, we're here now. Didn't think we'd have another chance to sleep in a real bed. Or eat real food, for that matter. That was quick thinking back there. She nods, smiling sadly in the waning light. I frown. What is it, Zara? She hesitates, as if unsure how to respond.
It's just that this village, these people, they're alive because of us. But how many other villages in the Heartlands were destroyed because no one was there to save them?
She pauses, then gives me a meaningful look.
This war has destroyed much that is good in the world. I'm afraid that we won't be able to stop it from destroying everything that's left.
I offer her an encouraging smile. We will, Zara. I know it.
How can you be so sure?
It's just a feeling, I suppose. Deep down, something in me knows that everything will work out in the end. I take both of her hands in mine. Remember what you said to me in Forest Hill, after the final battle against Moloch? You said that even after the sun sets, we're never completely in the dark. You said that the sun will rise again. And I believe you. I believe the long night is almost over, Zara. She gives me a small, bemused smile. Using my own words against me? That's not fair. It may not be fair, but you know I'm right. I pull her into a hug, which she gratefully returns. After a few heartbeats, she releases me, her demeanor lighter than before. You're the only person on Bahalia who can do that, you know. Use your words against you? No, she replies, giving me a playful push. Make me feel better, you dolt. This war is really wearing on me. I'm just glad that you're here to keep me sane. That's what I'm here for, I say, smiling sheepishly. That, and to shoot things for you with my bow. She laughs and extends her hand for me to take. Come on, let's get back to the inn. I think we can both use a little rest. You go on ahead, I reply. I want to stretch my legs for a bit. Too long in the saddle. All right, but don't tarry. It'll be dark soon, and this is our last chance to enjoy a little civilization. She departs, leaving me standing in the middle of the hard-packed road. I watch her go, the same dull ache entering my heart every time she leaves my presence. I take a deep breath, frowning slightly as her last words repeat in my mind. This is our last chance to enjoy a little civilization. Grunting, I move in the opposite direction, determined to explore for a little bit before nightfall. An elder tree sprouts from the middle of the village, green, rising higher than any building and extending leafless boughs in all directions. It's like a lone sentinel, watching over Elder Hollow with ancient wooden eyes. For an instant, I'm reminded of a similar elder tree back in Haven, dead villagers hanging from its branches. I shake the thought away, my stomach turning at the memory as I continue up the road. I pass farmhouses, my thoughts drifting back to Zara and the time we've been able to spend together since meeting in the Emberwood. When I think about where we are today and how far we've come since then, I can't help but smile. My feet take me all the way to a small church on the edge of town. It's an old building of moss-covered stones, colorful stained-glass windows brightening the outside. This must be where Dane preaches, I think, stopping in front of the structure and examining its sturdy architecture. It's a thing of beauty, simple, elegant, proud. In many ways, it's a better representation of the light than the gaudy cathedral in Tarsus. The steps leading up to it are worn from generations of churchgoers, the windows and the door kept clean by loving hands. Zara's voice comes unbidden to my mind as I stare at the church.
There needs to be promises, or vows made between us. Some sort of real commitment. I love you, Owen, and I'm glad you're with me right now. This is our last chance.
Time seems frozen, the words dancing ceaselessly in my head. My heart pounds within my chest, pumping furiously as my breath catches in my throat. Nervously, my hand reaches into a pocket in my cloak and pulls out a small bit of wood, the piece of oak I've been carving for weeks, now almost complete. A ring. This is my last chance, I whisper, feeling a strange rush like lightning coursing through my veins. I need to take this chance before time runs out. Using my knife, I begin to add the finishing touches. As I whittle, careful not to ruin the delicate band, I contemplate my next move. 11 hells! I've fought men and demons, mind slaves and bandits, and I've never been so nervous in my entire life. Light help me! Zara stands on a small hill near the inn, staring eastward with the setting sun behind her. A soft breeze tugs at her robes and long chestnut hair. She doesn't look back as I approach, her expression thoughtful as she stares off at the darkening horizon.
"They're out there, you know," she says as I step up beside her. "The Ralar are besieging the city as we speak."
"Maybe," I reply. "But you've seen those walls. With Elias defending them, I'm sure the demons have been stopped dead in their tracks."
She glances at me and gives me a sidelong smile.
"It's amazing that when one of us broods, the other is cheerful. I wonder why that is."
I shrug. "Intuition?"
"Perhaps,"
she replies before looking back out at the plains. Taking a breath, I wipe my sweat-slicked hands on the edge of my cloak.
"Can I ask you something, Zara?"
"Of course," she replies.
"Back at Dunmar City, after you woke up from your coma, I kissed you, for the first time. Do you remember?"
She turns fully to face me, a small smile gracing her lips.
"Yes, I remember."
"Do you remember what you said afterward?"
She pauses, considering the question before eventually shaking her head.
I take a step toward her.
"You said, and I quote, 'Took you long enough.'"
She gives me a wry smile.
"Yes, that sounds like something I'd say."
Pushing through my nervousness, I continue, "You always seem to be one step ahead of me, Zara, understanding my feelings better than I do. It's like you can see the future, our future, and where we're supposed to be."
She frowns at that, but doesn't reply, her brown eyes searching mine intently. I swallow.
"That night in the wastes, when we drank the Kurza, you said that there needed to be promises, vows, made between us. You said that you didn't want me for just one night, and even a few nights. You wanted me forever."
"Zara, I want you forever, too." I drop to one knee and present the ring, the simple band of wood resting in the center of my palm. Looking up, I ask the one question that's been burning within me for weeks, the one question I've always been too afraid to ask.
"Zara Denel, will you marry me?"